Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful and we're grateful for the blessing and a great privilege you give us tonight just to come here and kneel before your sweet presence. I thank you, God, tonight for your word. I thank you, Father, not only does your word tonight fit in the palm of our hands, but Lord, it also lives in our hearts. I pray for all the many, many needs, God, that have been mentioned here tonight in this service, this time of prayer. I would pray, God, that you would lift and encourage each and every need that has been mentioned. Lord, there's so many needs all the way from people that are just coming from the hospitals this afternoon, all the way through, Lord, the gentleman, Father, that we had prayer by his bed that passed away this evening, Father. I would just pray you be near and dear all those families and all those ones, God, tonight needs a special touch from a righteous and a mighty God. Thank you, Lord, again for your word. Thank you, God, for your sweet presence here tonight in this place. May your will and your way, God, be the light and the lamp that we may have to guide our lives, Father, as we walk through this pathway we call life. May you be praised, God, and may you always be glorified is our deepest prayer. For we ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd ask you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. I'm going to be in the Gospel of Matthew tonight. I'm going to be in chapter 14. This will be Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to share with you tonight, beginning in verse 22. I shared with you earlier and before the prayer that I was going to share some very familiar verses. As I was reading through these verses this week in the last few weeks, God spoke to me some very unique things that I had never gleaned from these passages. And, you know, I'm thankful when God does that, because what I'm thankful for most is when we open the Word of God, we're reading and we're understanding the living Word of a righteous and a mighty God. We're not just reading a book, by no means. We're not just reading black words on a white page. But we're reading what God has desired to send and provide unto us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful for that tonight. May God bless tonight the reading of His Word. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. You know, we have to stop and remember what had just happened just before this was the feeding of the 5,000. And we know that story. I won't go into that in detail, but we know that all that were there, including the disciples, had just seen a miracle as all of those people had been fed from the little boy's loaves and fishes, just a handful of food. And God honored and God blessed it, didn't He? So now straight away again in verse 22, Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent a multitude away. In other words, Jesus said, I want all of you to get in this ship, and I want you to go ahead and head out across, and I'll be coming a little bit later. He said He needed to send a multitude away. That's all the people that He had just fed and He had just shared with, all the 5,000, plus the women and children. It says in verse 23, and when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, He was there alone. I want to stop there for just a moment. And I want to talk about being alone. And this is going to hit home to some of you. It's really going to hit home to all of us, I believe, because before I finish what I'm about to say and describe, I believe it will step on each of our feet in a very soft way, I pray. There's people tonight in this room, in this place tonight, in this service. There's people that I meet each day at work. There's people also that I know that have one of the most wonderful marriages that you could ever imagine. But many times the people are still lonely. So what does it really mean to be alone? Well, if we stop and think and look at loneliness, loneliness is a result of being alone, being all by ourselves, isn't it? Every one of you in this place tonight understand loneliness probably greater than most of the people in the world. I don't say that tonight because you live a lonely existence, but I say it tonight out of love, because I say it tonight because you have the full understanding and God has given you peace and joy through loneliness, hasn't He? He's allowed you to have understanding of what it's like to live your lives minus your spouse, minus some of the family members that you have outlived, some of the people that you may know, your relatives that no longer you see or are visited by, maybe some of the people that you used to know so well, and some of the people even that were in your churches back when you were there every Sunday and every Wednesday for prayer study. Some of those people you don't see anymore. You know they're still at church, and sometimes maybe you're even your pastor. Maybe you know your pastor still preaches at the same church, but you don't see your pastor much anymore. You know, many years back, I did a lot of praying because I saw a lot of needs at several places that I visited in my ministry. And you know, the places that I visited, one thing I always heard people say was, I'm so lonely about where I'm at because I don't see the people in my church like I once did. And you know, I heard that and I heard that, and I still, beloved, even this very day, this evening, I heard those very words come out of a lady's mouth. You know, if I wasn't so lonely, I'd be happier. But I want you to know one thing tonight. You're never alone, beloved, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ living in your heart. Now, I know it's easy for me to say that. I know it's easy for me to declare that to you. But I want you to know it's what God's Word tells us is the truth. We have to trust God for the truth. Amen? We have to know that when there comes a point in our life when God has allowed the people that were so near and dear to us to go home to be with Him, we have to understand one thing. We have been given a great commandment by God. We have been left here so that we can continue on the great work that God has begun in every one of our hearts. Amen? What I'm trying to tell you is this. You and I are left here, beloved, for a great purpose. Not just for a minor purpose, but for a great purpose. And that's one thing I was sharing with this lady this afternoon that I went and had prayer with. Was it doesn't matter, it seems like when there's days or maybe even weeks, I told her, when it seems like nobody comes by and you have no visitors and you may be in a hospital room and the only thing you see come by is a nurse. I want you to know Jesus is there because Jesus never has left your side. Amen? He has never left your side. And you know, this being alone, this is what Jesus is referencing here in this verse. If we look here in verse 23, it says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray." You see, Jesus desired to be alone, didn't he? Now, who did Jesus want to be with? You see, he longed and he desired to be with his heavenly Father. Amen? Now, let's stop and look just a moment about the loneliness of Christ, can we? Many times you probably don't think much about Jesus being lonely, do you? Because he had those 12 or 13 disciples always near him by his side for most of his three and a half years of earthly ministry. But you see, what Jesus longed for was to have that intimate relationship with his Father that he knew from the beginning of time. Amen? That he knew from the very beginning of time. We all know that Jesus always was, just like God always was, just like the Holy Spirit. We all know that whenever God sent forth his only begotten Son to be born in a manger in a town we call Bethlehem, that was not the first time that Jesus ever made an appearance, was it? The Old Testament speaks many times about the angel of God appearing unto the people. Surely the angel of God was Christ. If we look here as Jesus speaks in these latter verses and we understand what he's doing at this time, it says he was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. That's the ship the disciples were all aboard, with waves, for the wind was contrary. It says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. I want to pause there for just a moment. Almost every one of you at some point have seen that famous painting of Jesus walking on the water, haven't you? You've seen that famous painting of Jesus walking on the water as he's walking through the sea and the wind and the waves. It says in verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. and they cried out for fear. Stop there for just a moment. When we cry out in our life for fear, usually it's accompanied by trembling, isn't it? We have fear and we have trembling. We have things that trouble us. I saw a dear, precious lady this past weekend that I was talking to, that I was praying with. And in the process of me holding her hand to have prayer with this dear lady, I noticed she started trembling as I was praying. And she just trembled and trembled to the point where I had to take my other hand and place it on the top of our hands so our hands could stay together during prayer. That's how much she began to tremble. And when the prayer was over and amen was said, that dear lady looked at me and she had a tear in her eye. She said, "Please forgive me. I don't know what got into my hand because I normally are very calm. But tonight when we prayed, I felt something special whenever you prayed and asked God to have His will in my life." And she said, to the point I couldn't be still, but she said, "My joy was what you were seeing and what you were feeling." And you know, I want you to hear that tonight, not because of any reason, beloved, except for the fact that God was present in that prayer. Amen? You see, there's nothing special about my prayers or your prayers or anyone else's prayers. What's special about our prayers, beloved, is not the one asking God, but the deliverer of our prayers and petitions. Amen? The deliverer, we know that is God. And I'm so thankful for that tonight as she received what God had blessed her with during that time of prayer and fellowship we had. It says in verse 26 again, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and they were saying, 'Hey, it's a spirit. It's a spirit,' the word says. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid.'" You know, when I read those words, the first thing I think of is that may be exactly what Jesus tells us the day we draw our last breath. You know? You ever thought about that? Maybe the last time we draw our last breath on earth and we become absent from the body and we become present with the Lord. You know what? We may hear those words. I don't know that. Scripture doesn't give us testimony of that. But if it brought peace and it brought calm to these disciples out in a stormy sea, why would it not bring comfort to us? "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" In verse 32, "And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they were in the ship, came and worshipped him and saying, 'Of a truth thou art the Son of God.'" May God tonight bless the reading of His Word. Jesus appeared to the disciples walking on the water. I don't know any straight or better way to say this, but sometimes I'm around people that I believe that they feel in their own mind that they can walk on water. I don't say that out of anger. I don't say that out of disgust. I don't say that out of judgment, but I know many people that are truly the greatest legend in their life is in their own minds. What I mean that is ego, I mean pride, I mean all those things that cause the blessings and the gifts given to us by God to disappear from our heart. I know through these many years of life that you and I all have seen those that you saw at some point in your life were on fire for God and willing to do anything that anybody would ever ask them to do. They were willing to do it, weren't they? I have a dear uncle that has since passed away many years back. And I remember as a young boy, he would always ask us, come by our house on a Saturday evening. We were young children. And he would say, "Billy, I want you and your two brothers to come go to church with us in the morning. Bus is going to come right here by your house. I'll be driving it. And we got special treats on that bus. You'll enjoy it. If you'll just come and be ready, I'll plan on picking you up. And I don't remember the time. And I told my dear Uncle Alton, I said, Alton, I'll have to ask my mom and dad. And I mentioned it to mom and dad, and that was pretty much where it ended. I never thought much more about it. But you know, there were several Sunday mornings early that I'd hear the screech of bus brakes out in front of our house. And I'd peek out of the window out beside my bed, and I'd look out, 7 o'clock in the morning, and there'd be Alton in that church bus pulled up in front of our driveway. How he ever got it in that narrow driveway, I'll never know. But he'd sit out there with the door open, just sitting out there with his hands over his forehead, looking to see if he could see any of us three boys come running out to the bus. I'll tell you this, and I say it with sadness and regret, Alton never stopped by our house that we ever got onto his bus. Never did. Alton drove a bus, a church bus, volunteered, began a bus ministry at a rather large church down near the coast, and he done a wonderful job, and he loved seeing those young people get on that bus and go get on that bus with their Bibles and their books and eager to study the Word and learn about the Lord. And not only did Alton pick them up, Alton also made sure they enjoyed their trip. He'd always buy them ice cream and cookies and cakes and soft drinks and whatever they were supposed not to have, probably. But you know, when they got on that bus, there's always one thing they always said was, Mr. Porter, have you got me an ice cream in that cooler? And before that bus would ever take off and head to church, he'd pull out an ice cream and hand it to that child. As soon as that child got down and sat back in their seat, Alton would take off in the bus and he'd head up to the next house to pick the next child up around the corner. And you know, one thing I always remembered about Alton was his heart. It wasn't about his screechy brakes on his bus. It wasn't about his bus that was a unique color of yellow because the only thing he could paint it with was what paint he had at the house. See, Alton wasn't a wealthy man, or that's what I believed then. But I come to find out later, as I grew in the Lord myself in my own walk in life, that Alton had everything that God ever wanted for Alton because Alton had been blessed by God to serve God in a capacity through driving that bus and bringing those children to church. Only God, beloved, knows how many children today are in heaven and how many children today are raising their own children and grandchildren in the admonition of the Lord because one day they got on a bus that Alton was driving. And they heard the Word of God when they got to church and Sunday school. You see, what I want you to know tonight, it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have to reach down and pull you up just like He did Peter. One day the wind and the waves are going to be rough and you don't think you're going to ever have any chance of ever surviving whatever the dilemma is you have in your life. But I want you to know, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have nothing to worry about. You see, the Word here says, and it testifies, Jesus in verse 25 went unto them walking on the sea. Surely a miracle of God. But you know what's even more of a greater miracle than that? No matter what the reason was that they saw or foresaw Him walking across those waves, whenever Jesus came and got on board the ship, it said the wind and the waves, they calmed right down, didn't they? I thank God that in my life, in my walk with the Lord, that whenever I have troubles where I can't be calmed, I'm thankful when I call on the name of the Lord, He calms my spirit. I'm thankful when I have a problem with my health or I have a problem with the situation I'm dealing with in my life. When nothing else seems to work, I'm thankful that when I call on the name of the Lord calms my spirit and He settles my spirit and He gives me a calm and a peace in my heart. I'm so thankful that no matter what the situation is that we deal with, God is in control of that. And God is able to do abundantly above all we can ever ask or think or ever imagine. That's what His Word says. Peter, the Word here says, Peter spoke to him as soon as he saw him walking across there. You see, all the rest of them, the word here says in verse 26, and they were troubled because they saw him walking on the sea, and they were fearful. But straight away, Jesus spake unto them and saying, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. You see, the first thing that Christ always wants to do in the heart of someone that has a troubled spirit is to bring a calm and a peace. I believe every one of you in this place tonight, at some point, God surely has brought you a calm and a peace. Brought you a calmness into your heart where you know you could sleep through the night when you didn't know before whether you'd ever close your eyes. Some of you mothers in this room tonight, I'm sure you've had situations where you may have had a sick child before and you weren't quite sure because of a high fever whether they were going to make it through the night maybe. But yet God was faithful as you prayed by that sick child's bed. Or God was faithful when you had a neighbor to come by and said, my husband or my wife is sick, can you help me? And you were always so faithful to go and help and do what needed to be done to help that person through that trial or tribulation that they were going through. You see, these disciples' fear, it was real, beloved, because they were in the midst of this great storm and this ocean, this sea, when this great storm came up. It says here, they were troubled. If we look at this verse 29, the only thing that Jesus spoke to Peter was to come. He spoke one word. He spoke to Peter to come. You see, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Peter wanted to join Christ, didn't he? He wanted to walk on the water with Christ. You see, if there's one thing that we can never discount that Peter had was faith. Peter surely was a man of faith. He surely had a deep, deep trust in the power of God, didn't he? Being raised up along the coast like I have, there's been many times when I've stepped out of the sides of boats in the middle of the water. And I'll promise you, I never did anything but sink. I never came close to having one foot that would stand on top of the water and the waves. Never was I in belief that I could do that. But Peter had the faith in knowing, even in the midst of the storm, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he saw walking towards him on that water, he trusted him enough to say, Lord, if it's you, beckon me to come unto you. And all Jesus had to say was come. You know, so many times in this world this day, if there's one thing that an evangelist needs to let the world know is you need to come to Jesus. I had an opportunity a few weeks ago to read many pages of an article that was written in the last few years by the pen of the evangelist Billy Graham. And one of the most heart-touching parts of what I read that Mr. Graham had written was the fact that every time before he went out and stood before thousands and thousands and thousands of people to speak, the first thing he said that he had to empty himself of was Billy Graham. He had to empty himself of Billy Graham. He always prayed and sought God to allow God, allow me to be emptied of myself so, Father, you can fill me to overflowing with what is needed so that I can be used as a vessel to teach and preach your word, is what Billy said. Now, that's a strong man of faith. Now, we know that thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people have come to a saving grace through the ministry of Billy Graham's crusades. But you know, if there's one thing that Billy Graham has always said, there would have never been one soul that would ever step out of their seats if it had not been for the anointing and the pulling of the Holy Ghost in their chairs. He'd always give credit where credit's due. Amen. And you know, if we give praise where praise belongs to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, beloved, and we never deny Him, and we walk our lives, and we keep the faith, and we walk and run in this race we call life, God gives us a wonderful promise that He'll never leave us and He'll walk with us. I don't know of a greater promise that we need and this world needs and our community needs and our states need and our country needs and this world needs, beloved, more than to know Jesus Christ is walking with us. Amen? And I trust today that you can call His name. And you know without any question or any doubt that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. Would you bow your heads for a closing prayer with me? Father, we're so grateful and we're thankful for the privilege you have blessed us with tonight to share this truth. Lord, we know we've heard this message maybe many times. But Lord, it always seems so powerful and so true as we see the pure faith of Peter, Father, as he called upon your beloved Son, and the words from your Son, Lord, come. Lord, I would pray tonight that the ones who may hear this message tonight, who maybe are lost, God, and wandering in a sin-cursed and darkened world without you as Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that you would just beckon them unto you and allow them to come unto you, God. May this be their day, God, of salvation. May the things of their life, God, be confessed. And God, may anything within them that would hinder them, Father, from coming unto you, God, may you just allow those walls to be torn down. And may your will and your grace, God, be manifested in all areas of each of our lives. Thank you, God, again for loving us. Thank you, Father, for saving us. Thank you for keeping your loving arms around us, Father. And Lord God, until the day you call us home, may you find us each faithful to do your work and do your will. We ask and we pray this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
This concludes tonight's live worship service. We pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, each one listening has been blessed through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to join us back again next week for another live outreach worship service as we together continue praising Jesus Christ. Those tonight who have made decisions to follow Christ, desiring additional biblical resources, or anyone with special prayer concerns, are personally invited to visit the Praising Jesus Ministry website. The web address is www.praisingjesus.org. That address again is www.praisingjesus.org. We want to thank each of you tonight for listening. We invite you back again next week as together we seek God to guide, mold, and speak to our hearts and lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Good night, and may God bless each of you, is my prayer.